this week, of course, you know, we've got the Fed meeting, and they come up on Wednesday. So at this stage, the Fed's expect to leave their interest rate unchanged, although there's enough in some of the data to suggest that, you know, if they are thinking of a rate cut, you know, they may be able to get one away. So watching that one on Wednesday. But going back to last week and some of that data, we had a mix of soft and fairly firm data. So looking backwards, the data still looks quite firm. We had the advance reading of Q2 GDP in the United States, and that actually improved to 2.8% annualized growth from 1.4% annualized growth in the first quarter. So there's actually an acceleration running through the second quarter. And underpinning that is the mainstay of US growth, which is very different from what you see in most other major economies. Consumer spending still holding up. We had real consumer spending, which was up 2.3% annualized compared with 1.5% annualized in the first quarter. So, you know, that is different from most other countries. Most other countries are struggling with consumer spending, but it was still there in Q2. But some of the leading indicators we got last week just pointing somewhat softer. So, for example, on the housing front, we had existing home sales for the month of June. We also had new home sales for the month of June. Existing home sales fell more than expected by 5.4% down after being down 0.7% going back to May. So a couple of pretty weak months there as far as existing home sales are concerned. And that came through new home sales too for June. They were expected to lift by 3.4%. They actually fell by 0.6% in the month of June. That was after being down on revision 14.9% the month before. So right at the leading edge there, as far as home sales are concerned, it is looking quite soft. Some of the other traditional leading indicators, when we're looking at purchasing managers' indices, the ISM surveys are by far the most important, but we still have the old PMI data, and we had the old-style manufacturing PMI and services sector PMI came out for the month of July. We'll get the ISM ones this week. But the manufacturing PMI, the old-style one, came down to 49.5 from 51.6. So that's down below the expansion contraction marker at 50. Having said that, the services sector PMI was very quirky. On this particular indicator, it was very strong going back to May at 55.3. It lifted further to 56. So if you took that as a marker of the services sector, that's still saying there's quite a deal of strength running through there. Then later in the week, we got a number which is, you know, quite important as far as the Fed is concerned, trying to gauge where inflation's at. And that was the June core personal consumption expenditure deflator. This is an alternative to the CPI. It's more current in its weightings. The Fed likes it better than the CPI in many ways. The CPI was looking good anyway when we got that, when it came out earlier in the month. But the June core PCE was pretty good too. It was plus 0.2% month on month. That was as expected. And that held the annual rate at 2.6% year on year. It's not down at 2 where the Fed's target is, but you know, it's heading in that right direction. And if you can see any sort of softness running through the labour market, then you know, you can justify the Fed starting to look ahead and saying, yes, we have had some strength in some indicators in the past. Housing's now looking iffy. We've got, certainly as far as the manufacturing PMIs are concerned, a lot of softness coming ahead. You know, you could build a case for why they might be able to ease. They've got a little bit of data coming out before that Fed meeting this week, and some of it's actually quite important. We get, for example, the July Conference Board Consumer Confidence Survey. It's been edging back a bit. This is the final reading of this, and it was at 100.4. If anything, you know, the market thinks that the later reports would have brought that down under 100, probably at 99.8. Also, a key one on Wednesday as they're meeting is the Q2 employment cost index. Employment costs have been running pretty high. And going back to Q1, they rose 1.2% quarter on quarter. at the time when that one came out, it was actually quite a surprise. The market expects another 1% for Q2. You know, when you're running 1s and 1.2s, you're running well over 4 for employment costs. So, you know, that could be a fly in the ointment as we're looking towards, you know, the Fed rate decision on Wednesday. Also, some key data comes out after the Fed. So on Friday, you know, we'll get the labour market data with non-farm payrolls. We'll also get average hourly earnings and the unemployment rate. Non-farm payrolls, given that initial jobless claims over recent weeks have worked their way into the 230,000s, there's an expectation we'll get, for the first time in a little while, a reading below 200,000. And the market's looking for non-farm payrolls to lift by 177,000 compared with 206,000 the month before. The unemployment rate is expected to stay at 4.1%, but remembering that last month it lifted from 4 to 4.1, and remembering that the low point for the unemployment rate in this cycle is around 3.5, we've already had more than a 0.5 percentage point lift in the unemployment rate, and in the past that's often been the marker for the Fed to start to think about lowering their funds rate. So that funds rate, it's at 5.5%. Market thinks it will still be 5.5% after the Fed meeting this week, but there's growing conviction that we'll get a rate cut in the following meeting when we get through to September. There's a chance they may decide to go this week. And just in that part of the world, it's interesting, the Bank of Canada last week, they're one of the few that have been able to get away two rate cuts in this cycle. They cut for the first time back in June, and they cut again at their July meeting. That brings their official rate down to 4.5% there. Why can't we do the same thing? Well, in Canada, economic growth is a lot weaker than it is here, and their unemployment rate's a long way higher than it is here. It's over 5%. So, yeah, that's the proximate reason why Bank of Canada can get away with that, but many others can't. Just moving to China, and last week, yeah, there's been some speculation that we may be getting some sort of stimulus coming through, because most of the economic indicators out of China have been so soft looking backwards. We did get a move by the People's Bank of China last week. It was 10 basis points, down to 3.85% for their deposit rate, down from 3.95%, and their lending rate down to 3.45 from 3.55. It's not big in the scheme of things when you consider that their inflation rate's only 0.4% year on year. So these are still very, very high real interest rates, but it's a sign that the Chinese authorities are slowly working their way into gear towards some sort of stimulus, probably coming through with what we saw there with the interest rate cut, and perhaps something in terms of spending coming before long. But at this stage, it's still pretty small. And this week in China, we get the July manufacturing PMI coming out, non-manufacturing PMI, and the Kaixin version of the manufacturing PMI. The official manufacturing PMI out on Wednesday is expected to come down to 49.3 from 49.5. That's still below 50, the expansion contraction marker, and is looking pretty soft. The non-manufacturing PMI is expected to come down from 50.5 down to 50.2. The interesting thing is that the Kaixin manufacturing PMI has been reading a bit higher than the official PMI. It was at 51.8, but that's expected to come down a bit too when we get the July reading. Last week in Australia, there wasn't much of note. We got some hints about interest rates staying higher for longer from some of the Reserve Bank speakers last week, but not much in the way of terms of data. This week's a different matter. We got an awful lot of data coming out, including some really important stuff leading into the Reserve Bank's August policy meeting. Looking at the minor stuff first, and I shouldn't say minor because some of these are actually quite important, but on Tuesday we get things like June home building approvals. We've had a couple of months where home building approvals have lifted. The market thinks that we're going to get a little bit of a pullback. So going back to May, home building approvals lifted by 5.5%. They're expecting a pullback of 2.3%. We get June retail sales. Now, interestingly, going back to May, we had a bigger than expected lift in retail sales. It was up 0.6%. It's expected that much of that was for special factors, but the market's still expecting another 0.3% increase on top of that 0.6. Now, if that occurs, then another part of the retail sales survey comes out this week, and it's Q2 real retail sales. They fell 0.4% quarter on quarter, going back to Q1. If we were to get a 0.3 for the June reading, after that 0.6 the month before, even allowing for quite a large inflation deflator running through that, we're going to be at worst flat for Q2 real retail sales, and possibly a very small positive. That's quite a significant improvement from minus 0.4%. So that, if anything, suggests that things were lifting a bit in Q2, even before the tax cuts came through. So just watching that one when it comes through. But the big readings this week are obviously the CPI and all the various inflation readings that come with that. We also get the monthly June CPI. Taking the quarterly CPI, this is by far the more important one as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned, because it's the full CPI survey, so everything's included in this, whereas in the monthly survey, you tend to get only a limited view of some price rises. In the Q2 survey, it's expected that we'll get another 1% lift. It was 1% quarter-on-quarter lift in the CPI going back to Q1. If that's the case, it would lift the CPI from 3.6 to 3.8. That's probably somewhere near the benchmark of making it difficult for the Reserve Bank as to whether they stay on hold or lift rates again. And so they're probably going to look to the underlyings. And here we've got the Q2 trim mean and weighted median. Now, they're expected to be up by 1% as well, and that will bring their rates down, but only into the low 4%. We really need something perhaps a touch below 1% quarter on quarter to really give the Reserve Bank confidence to stay on hold. Otherwise, it's going to be very, very line ball. I'm hoping that they stay on hold, but it is a very line ball call. The June CPI probably won't matter that much. It will matter if it goes above 4%. It was 4.0% year on year going back to May. If anything, it should come back into the threes. If it stays at four or goes higher, that one will be a little bit worrying too. Then you get some other data, which is less important later in the week. We'll get export prices, import prices. At least there's some joy on import prices. Import prices are probably coming down again, probably about 0.7% after being down 1.8% the quarter before. So if anything, that can build into less inflation pressure looking ahead. Export prices, however, they're also looking weak. So down 2.1% going back to Q1, probably off again looking into Q2. We'll get the Q2 producer price index coming out on Friday as well. And this one was pretty high going back to Q1. It was up 0.9%, 4.3% year on year. That 4.3% year on year, when you look around the world, it's very hard to find any other advanced country with a year-on-year PPI anywhere near 4.3. Most of them have actually come down a long way. Most are into negative territory, some of them, such as Europe, for producer prices. here because of our peculiar domestic pressures forcing prices up. We've actually got quite a high PPI too, and that's obviously in the pipeline for the CPI. So, these are the pressure points there as far as Australia is concerned, and watching, obviously that's going to be a very, very important number when it comes out on Wednesday. Moving to Europe, and last week, we had July consumer confidence, minor improvement there to minus 13 from minus 14, so it's still pretty soft. We also had the various purchasing managers indices came out. July, the manufacturing PMI was still very weak. It came down to 45.6 from 45.8 going back the month before. And the services sector PMI was at 52.8 in July. That came back to 51.9. Having said that, that's actually still quite firm. And, of course, it's tourism, which is largely boosting services in Europe at the moment. This week in Europe, we'll get second quarter GDP coming out. GDP is struggling into positive territory. It was positive going back to Q1, where it was up 0.3% quarter on quarter, 0.4% year on year. Market's expecting another 0.2% quarter on quarter rise. There's nothing spectacular, but it's pulled its way a little bit out of recession through the course of this year. So just very, very slightly firmer. We also get the July preliminary CPI and core CPI readings for the euro area coming out on Wednesday, the evening of when we get our CPI. And it's chalk and cheese compared with ours because in June, the CPI was 2.5% year on year. It looks as if that'll edge down to 2.4% year on year, and the core CPI should come down from 2.9 to 2.8. So, compare and contrast that with us, where we're up near the 4% mark. That gives you some idea of why things are different here relative to where they are in other places. But even in Europe, they find it hard to get interest rates down. The ECB got one away back in June, had to pass in July. And part of the reason for that is still a very tight labour market. On Thursday, we'll get the June unemployment rate reading, and that looks as if it's going to stay at 6.4%, where it was the month before. And that's a low point for the last quarter century. Wage settlements in Europe are still mostly north of 5%. So even though you've got a low inflation rate at the moment, there's a real risk that it could actually pick up again as we go further down the track. And those are the sorts of things that are worrying the ECB. Another central bank that's got its meeting this week is the Bank of England. They've been hinting that they will start to bring interest rates down, and the chances are they may do it this week. They were at 5.25% for their base rate. It looks as if they may deliver on Thursday a 25 basis point rate cut. That'll take them down to 5. Having said that, they will have to go very slowly beyond because they have very high wage settlements running through there. And so whilst their inflation rate has come down, it's unlikely it can stay down. So it's another one of those cases where this is going to be, even though the central banks that can bring interest rates down, it's going to be a very slow and faltering process. And for somewhere such as us, which is now, unfortunately, got world's worst, at least in the major developed economies, world's worst inflation outcome. We're nowhere near being able to cut rates. That's a story for perhaps the middle of next year, if then. In the meantime, it's on hold or potential for interest rates to go higher. I think probably on hold is more likely, but it's going to be on hold for a very long time at 4.35%.